This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm going to call. That is. So that was Shelley. I'm going to use my magic gavel. Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. This is our second to last meeting of this year. I know just for our role, Gabrielle, if you want to call the role,
sure.
We can understand.
Nice.
It.
Nancy.
Sorry, as I cut you as you're eating.
Nancy's here. Okay. Shelley.
Here.
Bill, Penny, no, Tanya,
here,
Hazel,
here,
Billy Kepner,
here,
Amy,
here,
Jeremy,
here. Oh, Amy is here.
Amy's here, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Jeremy, Eric,
Brenda,
here, Brandy,
here,
Elizabeth is not here, and BJ, David, not here.
David, he resigned.
Yep.
Oh,
also shipped out of here.
Yeah. Thank you. Four.
Here.
Okay, we're good. And then me.
Perfect. Thank you. So again, it's May the fourth. Why is it
May the fourth? Be with
I was
you.
About to stole my Star Wars joke. Well, calling this meeting to order. Thanks, Gabriel, for taking the attendance for us. Are there any other late additions to the agenda as seen here? Great. The minutes are also here as well. Looking over the minutes, any questions or corrections for our minutes from April the 20th? Yes. Yeah. Oh, totally. On time. And again, I would introduce the guests as well, too, if you guys want to introduce yourself for the record. I don't know. Welcome to the Employee Assembly. We're glad that you're here. I guess I'll start over here. If you guys want to introduce yourselves, then I guess just what department you're from, and if anything, it'll bring you to the Assembly.
I'm Lancaster Zito from the Division of Human Resources.
Liz Field from CIT.
Good.
I'm interested in running. That's why I'm here.
Thank you, Liz. And great. Thank you for coming. Looking over those minutes, any other corrections for them? Questions? All right. A motion to approve these minutes so we can...
Motion to approve.
Second. Any dissent on that? All right. So we'll look to vote. All those in favor approving the minutes? Say aye. I think we can just go vocal, right? Raise your record. All right. Anyone opposed? Same. All right. Good. So minutes passed. So thank you, and we'll get those approved. Thank you, Gabrielle, again for taking these minutes and coming to our meeting. All right. Business of the day. So a few things here. Again, elections update, prep for our meeting with Marion Hunter, and our presidential search committee as well, too. So I guess I'll start with our elections update. At last count, let me just pull up so I have the right information here. So since our materials have opened on Monday, I believe Gina mentioned yesterday to us that when she looked into the system, 89 people had at least clicked through and started and even looked at applications.
Yes.
And we have roughly 18 or 19 candidates that are close to submitting. So again, I think really positive news for us that at least 90 people almost that at least just looked and considered. There are folks here in this room that are considering as well, too, so nice to see you at this meeting. And I know the office, too, has received a lot of inquiries. I've received a lot of inquiries myself. I guess I just want to get a sense from other members. What are things that you've heard so far about the election processes so we can start compiling questions and other things as well, too, and feedback? So anything in particular? Thank you again. Sorry,
there were three independent candidates that came to
meet. Great.
Oh, good.
So, they did have a question about voting, as to whether or not people voted in one vote or if they voted in
four. So, currently, how we set up is that everyone can vote for the different seats. Again, it's one vote for each of the seats. Like, you can't vote for, if there are three candidates for human ecology, you can't vote for, like, two candidates. You pick one for each seat. So that's currently how the voting is set up.
Okay. Yeah, we just wanted to double check.
Yes. Correct. So. Mm-hmm. Other questions and feedback?
The only other thing was what I emailed you when I met with an HR person from IRL. They said that the timing for support letter from the head of HR would be right now.
Yes. I will say I'm just email Mary yesterday was consumed by some other things on the UA, and I was out sick on Monday, so I'll see if we can get that out today. I think I already drafted it last week, so I just wasn't able to run it by Mary. So I'll hope that we can at least try that. Yep. Thank you. We're going to send it, this was when we're going to send it to DDD listserv.
Right.
And then, so again, encouraging supervisors and making sure that that's, there's a message from senior leadership that says, we support this, you should all support this as well, too, or something that's positive effects for staff members as well.
Right.
So.
But you don't need your supervisor's
exactly.
approval to participate.
Yeah. I think that's another thing to put out there as clarification.
It's encouraging dialogue.
It's encouraging dialogue, yes. But again, I think we want to emphasize that it's encouraging dialogue with your supervisor about the position that you'd like to run for. But at the end of the day, you don't need your supervisor's permission in order to seek an elected seat as well, too. So, yeah, we're not trying to set up an adversary relationship, but we want to set up a positive dialogue in that sense as well. I believe that was, I think that was quoted for me in The Sun. It was, we need to stop asking permission for the things that we can't do. And someone was like, are you trying to start a revolution? I was like, kind of not really. We'll see what happens. The other thing I want to add as well, and thank you again for coming. I believe you were the one that brought this to my attention. But one of the staff, I guess, units that we didn't identify in this first go-round is information technology. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we just look at it as being a part of each of the different colleges and units and not necessarily its own entity. And so there's been multiple folks that have mentioned that, and I think that's something we should really consider as the next body selected as well, too.
Right.
When the letter.
If I were to apply to CIT, it is its own unit. The other IT groups that are associated with colleges and units are actually a separate organization.
Yep.
So CIT is offering couples of DFA, but I wasn't sure if I should apply under that.
So you're welcome to apply under, again, first go-around, we've let staff members kind of affiliate with what they most strongly identify with. And again, I think, for me, what's positive about this whole experience is that we looked over this for an entire year, figuring out all the different ways we could split up the different things. And I think once we put out a model, we're learning now that, oh, this is a better way to potentially move as well, too. So, again, I really appreciate you, A, not just sitting around being upset, but also bringing it to attention, which is really helpful for us.
How should I?
I think that is probably your closest bet.
Okay.
For a structural relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the CIO reports to the director of DFA.
Yeah.
So that would maybe make sense.
Sounds good
okay.
to me. Because I think I responded to something else, but again, I want to defer to the staff members who know their own organizations best and their own kind of reporting structures. So that's helpful. So I hope that helps you in this regard as well. Excellent.
So for clarification, the technical aspect is actually for technicians who are working at bench tops and veterinary technicians and all that staff as opposed to CIT technical.
Yeah, that's correct, because it's research and tech transfer. So those are the two things that are put together. So I think tech transfer is another one of those. I don't know if we pulled that from Workday or from one of the other classifications, but research and tech transfer are put together. So I think tech transfer is, maybe that's associated with the tech campus?
That's what I thought.
Oh,
I think
it is. The tech transfer is here on the Ithaca campus. They sort of manage, and maybe Jeremy, you know, but I think the tech transfer, because I have a colleague at CIT who came from there, and so they manage like large database operations.
Yep.
Okay, I'm pretty sure.
Good to know. Other thoughts and feedback that we've heard as we've kind of pushed this out to our groups. Great. So again, the materials are due Friday by noon. It's again going to the website, selecting the seat, submitting a photo, or coming down to again Day Hall to have that photo taken. It's I think 1,250 characters is the candidate statement, and then just that submission piece. So again, I'm very excited for this. I think we all just we didn't know what was going to happen on Monday, and to see this kind of response and things kind of coming to fruition is great. So the other thing we're doing to also help kind of people finish their applications is today, I don't know if it's already been sent out, but sometime today, the folks with applications who are almost completed and have somewhat identifying information for the Office of Assemblies will send an email on behalf of Billy Kepner, who's our communications and elections chair, who's not running for a seat again, saying thanks for running. If you have questions about this, again, or thanks for your interest in completing applications, feel free to finish your application or contact us with more questions. Again, it's just a way to help encourage people to get started it, make sure we finish that as well. So, any other suggestions you think we can put out there to help encourage more things?
Well, two things. One, that mail did go out because I wasn't really trying to apply, but I sure it worked as I promoted it.
Good.
And so then I erased everything.
Okay. So Nancy, what you're saying is we only have 88 people,
right.
Not 89.
But I didn't, yeah. And anyway, I try to stay in my topic book here. And also, I am thinking of having the call for candidates and the election date be the lead story of Crawford Friday and having Crawford go out at around 9 o'clock.
Great.
Try to get a last minute sort of
push.
So I have some text to show you at that.
Great. Thank you so much, Nancy. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So
if people have their own photo and whatnot, they could, if they got that at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, said I want to do it, they could just go online and submit everything.
Yep.
And be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was in the ad. Explaining and writing the breakdown.
We try to make it as digital in there as possible so we can save time, save energy, and be more organized. All right. So, again, those are elections. This has been, a year and a half in the making at this point? Maybe a little bit more. I believe I started drafting my report to the Board of Trustees, and as I was writing up our new structure proposal, I realized I was typing, and Curtis Ferguson II helped start this so long ago. I don't know if those of you that remember Curtis, who is now at a different institution, but this has changed many hands, and we've come this far, so this is really great to see. So I appreciate everyone's help and support with that. All right, if there's nothing else with elections update, I'll move down to prep with our meeting with Vice President Opperman and Hunter Rawlings. So that is our last meeting of the year on the 18th. Again, I think we had originally planned this to be with President Garrett. We had our set of questions and allocations there, and as we look to kind of rechange that, we're looking to see what our conversation with them will be like. And so I guess I'll start off with some ideas that I have, but really, again, this is a bodies meeting with the interim president and Vice President Opperman. But I think for me, I would like it to talk about kind of direction and, again, continuing our communication theme from the our meeting with the executive board of or the executive committee of the Board of Trustees and how we can position ourselves as a communications vehicle and really, be more representative of the staff community. So I think that's what I would like to position our conversation with Hunter, but again, I'm open to seeing what other thoughts members have in terms of, it's an interim president. I think search questions are also going to come up in that sense. But what are thoughts that people want to hear from Hunter and Mary? I'm happy to jot them down.
Are we still going ahead launching the employee survey timeline?
Yes.
For this year?
Yeah, I think this is five years.
Right. So when BJ and I last met with Mary, we talked about the launch, and she's going to get in touch with Marin and see if we can set up a meeting and talk about it for next year. I think there's some concern with all of the turmoil we've had in the past year, a new president, the president's passing, we've got an interim and all of that. Are we going to get good data if we put out a full survey, or maybe we do a smaller pulse point survey kind of thing? So she was going to ask Marin, I believe, to kind of give some advice or thoughts on that, because we only get one shot every so many years.
Right, but this year is supposed to be easier because it's
since we've already been through it once.
Right. It's just a question of, are we going to get, I think the concern, are we going to get true data or garbled data, because people are feeling like, okay, we don't know who the president is and we don't know what's to come and what will happen. So it's going to feel like 2009, I think, a little bit again.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. But I'd be curious to see what Maureen's take is on it, and that's if we've gotten that back from her.
We haven't, and I guess that's a good thing to send to her in terms of just prep for that.
It went dark after that letter.
Our virtual meeting over here as well, too.
But that would be, I think, a good discussion point to talk about. I mean, yeah, I don't know how we as a body feel. Yeah.
Since it's been that many years, we can't pulse and then get the other one on the agenda.
Okay. 2011?
Yeah.
Was it going to be the same kinds of questions? Or
pretty much the same questions, so that we can benchmark them.
Okay.
But even if, I mean, we are in transition, and I think whatever that information is that shows, it would be great information for a new leader to know about in some way, because if we wait till a new leader is all the way in and been working for a while, then that's the right theory on that.
Yeah.
There might be some, that I'd be really curious, but people who
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about too. But I think this would be a good discussion point with Mary and Hunter, you know, the pros and cons. I mean, they might not be able to answer all of it, but
at least we can have that. That's the point of these things, is to have that discussion.
Right.
Right.
And if we feel strongly that we should move ahead with it, the proposal that was approved was to do one next year. So
Brandy, do you have a question as well too?
Well, I guess I'm just wondering about asking Hunter about the question about like the next 5 to 10 years, because he's been pretty clear he's just like covering.
So these questions that are here are for the meeting with the Presidential Search Committee, not for Mary Hunter. So these are
sorry.
Yeah, so those are for a different meeting.
Sorry. No worries. But to build off of that, I think asking, you are serving as an interim chair, what is your approach going to be, and I think how would you like to interact, not how would you, but what is your perception of the employee assembly and kind of your connection with shared governance in that sense too. So I think that's good. Other thoughts? To go off of the survey, I was just reading a bunch of stuff in preparation for this report, and they were reading a bunch of stuff on Google, because, you know, when you want to do something good, apparently you just turn to Google. But they do an act, it's called a Google Geist or something like that, but they do a pulse every year, and it just spread out to all the employees of their company, and literally just, they can have a constant pulse on how their employees are feeling. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if that's something we'd want to do here, but it's just this whole idea of how do we understand what our employees are feeling. Like, Google does it one way, so I may bring that up with them.
A lot of people are doing poll surveys.
Yeah. So.
I
like
if it's trends over time, so it's just like a picture.
Yep.
So it becomes accurate.
Well, so it might be an interesting thing for us to think, you know, in that 5-year turnaround, we do a big one every 5 years, and we do a pulse every two and a half or something like that. Georgia State, if anybody wants to look at like an amazing survey, Georgia State does every 2 years an employee engagement survey, and it's really good.
Do you mind sending the links for that? And then I'll include the links from Google as well too, just for everyone's reference as well. Okay. I'm not hearing any other questions unless... So if you have more questions, things that you want, send those to me, and I'll say by next week Wednesday, so I can forward those over to the president, and they can have those a little bit ahead of time. Again, I don't think we need to have every single question sent to them ahead of time, because then we just kind of sit there and listen to them answer our questions. But if there are things like this research that, or like the survey question that would require them to reach out to some other offices, it'd be good to get for them to get some advance notice. Okay. So moving on to the next item here, the Presidential Search Committee questions. So both of us are attending
lunch
with the Presidential Search Committee to discuss, again,
what is this going to look like? So those are the questions that we'll have here. There, in recent history, what initiatives do you believe have been most critical to Cornell's success? What are the key challenges and opportunities that Cornell will face over the next 5 to 10 years? And what are the key attributes the next president of Cornell needs to have to successfully lead the university forward? So I think keeping those questions in mind, and as we represent the EA, what are some things that you have as answers to these questions? And I guess I'll start there, so we make sure that those are voiced in the search committee.
Tuition is due debt for the second one.
I guess let's take these one at a time, and then I can actually write them down.
I'm taking notes.
Never mind.
I was all prepared for it.
I'll also like to write at the same time. So tuition, student debt, key challenges and opportunities. Let's just start at the top so we're not all thinking about three different things and bouncing around. So looking at the first question, in recent history, what initiatives do you believe have been most critical to Cornell's success?
Are we trying to keep it into the staff employee perspective or just as a general Cornell note?
I would say either or. I think, again, we represent staff members,
yeah.
But at least staff members are impacted by these other things. So. Okay. I would say I think from a staff perspective in particular, especially after President Garrett sent out the streamlining memo and then
mm-hmm.
we responded to that, and that was followed up by I think a really good president's address to staff. I think those partnerships, that initiative of reaching out to staff members and direct response to questions and concerns brought up by shared governance, I think that's a really good initiative. That was critical to our success in doing the president.
So speaking of the emphasis that President Garrett gave to broadening our academic or strengthening our academics, you know, focusing on academic excellence, because that trickles down to staff as well.
Okay.
I think Cornell being attentive to staff needs as evidenced by it always hitting on the board that they come out in the paper.
Best employer and all
yeah.
that.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like working mother, there's a bunch
yeah,
of different things as well, too.
Yeah.
Production,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Amir was actually inducted recently into the HR professionals as well. So. I guess thinking, maybe bringing it down a little bit and thinking locally, what are things that your team does that make it successful? And I think that helps, again, thinking locally where we all sit, what are things that make your teams and environment successful? And then again, I think we can help extrapolate that up to other university things as well.
My department is even focused on the student needs. We get involved with, you know, they have a safe environment, clean environment. They keep track of their, you know, family stress or, you know,
do you have partnerships with other staff members or students? And how do you assess, I guess, what those needs are?
I'm North Campus, which is a freshman building,
yep.
and so I see them constantly going back and forth across campus, you know, and how you doing, how do you feel with your exams are going, you know, my favorite is that you have to call your mom.
Hazel, I think you asked me
that. you know, just face to face, you get to know them, and, you know.
So I think I read that, turning that into an initiative, and correct me if that sounds incorrect, but making sure that frontline staff are involved in the decision-making and strategic process as well, too, as they are directly connected to students. Okay. Linda and then Amy. Sure.
But those are saying to the
So again, tying in the town and gown component, so understanding what's happening at Cornell, but that also impacts the town at large. I'll build off of that too, and I'll say I think when Ryan Lombardi was putting some of those things together here on campus, we were in a meeting with them, and I mentioned some of the surveys that are going on, and he reached out to me too as well to see how he can link those up. So I think that's a really positive thing. Amy?
The piece I would add from the table is around student stress and awareness around mental health.
Thanks for that. I will put in a plug for faculty staff assistance program as well too. So that's something we offer here. Put that in the record so that's just more publicity for them. But that is a benefit for all staff members that we provide. Again, counseling services and all kinds of assistance from anything. They deal with it as large and small, and they're really great. So.
Yeah, but before you get to that,
The noticing and responding.
The noticing and responding part. Great. Thank you.
So I wanted to add, we've had a lot of diversity training initiatives at the Met College. I know that's part of the Toward New Destinations, but it's been very active, you know, and people are staff are encouraged to attend these sessions. And I think that, you know, there's many times when I've learned something I didn't know, or someone in the room has shared something that made me rethink. So I think that anything that we can do to promote acceptance of one another,
yeah,
will be helped.
Cornell
and all of us be successful.
Yeah. Great, thank you. I was at, I think the Inclusive Excellence Academy had a thing last week, and I saw some faces there. So again, thanks. I hope that was helpful. I found it really helpful as well too. So I have, they might still have copies of the book from the presenter as well too, so I'll ask the office and HR about that as well. But also really great. Yeah, so go to the next question here. What are the key challenges and opportunities that Cornell will face over the next 5 to 10 years? So again, I think maybe thinking locally, kind of what your departments are facing over the next 5 to 10 years in terms of challenges and opportunities. What's that? Doing more requests. Yeah.
I think also the challenge of our aging workforce and the so the retirement and kind of the gap between the gap between millennials and the baby boomer.
I will also send out some demographics. Sometimes I just like data because it's really fun. The IRP website here has been a great resource for me in just terms of straight like numbers and demographics and things, and watching the trend lines of the students and how that sometimes correlates, but not always, with the staff members as well too. I think that's informative for us as well. So, yeah. Other challenges. Andy?
I think diversity and inclusion is an issue that we want to continue to be on the forefront of going forward.
Yep.
And all the opportunities.
I'm
really worried about our political climate in the U.S. and the division in our country, and so that played out in the here too. So that's one of the future of diversity and inclusion and humanity.
Well, I know I'm not part of the committee, but I did want to say that
you're part of the community.
I see at Cornell one of the big challenges that we'll be facing in 5 to 10 years is a lot of the jobs are changing because we're moving a lot of our applications to the cloud. So it's actually changing entire positions. And that's going to be, there's 1,000 IDP staff at Cornell, so that's going to affect a lot of people in here.
When you say changing, I mean, is this wholesale, like, I used to do this, and I'm doing something completely different, or parts of my position?
Or those jobs will be gone, because they're, the people who manage the systems that are contained on campus on our own servers are moving to the cloud, and people who work for Amazon or Microsoft are the ones managing those now, so we need programmers who can program in the cloud, and who might be, like, instead of being delivering a service, they're actually working with the vendor.
Wow.
So it's really, it changes the entire position, basically.
Do you know, and I guess this is both something to note in terms of like training for change and training staff members for change, yeah. But is any of that started to be planned for, or is that something that we have to start
that? Yeah, no, it's in process now because we've already moved a few applications to the cloud in CIT, and they've developed a way to help other IT groups on campus move their applications to the cloud. We're calling it cloudification.
Okay.
Understandably, there are people who are worried about that.
And I think the ChatGPT ripple effect directed IT across campus, we've seen a lot of the things that all stems from this idea of streamlining, doing ones with more, you know, all of our positions with health IT are also evolving rapidly right now. A lot of outsourcing some of the lower level support and evolving our positions into far more technical positions.
So I'll say, and again, I'll share the draft report with everyone as well, too. I just wanted to get a full read on it, what I'm going to end up sending to the Board of Trustees. But one of the things that we're talking about there is trust and transparency. And I think all these things here help us present a better case as to why transparency can help make senior leadership make better decisions as well, too. I don't think anyone here is saying, like, we can't change ever, but I think it's the more we understand what changes are coming, the more we can better prepare and anticipate and train for these changes as well, too. So I think that's helpful, again, in building our case as well. Other key challenges, opportunities we're facing the next 5 to 10 years? Again, locally, I think it's helpful because it helps us, as Jeremy mentioned, one thing in one department can ripple out to the rest of campus.
Well, I know locally in the veterinary college, we're increasing class size without necessarily increasing staff size.
Yeah. Not only in the vet college, but across campus, the undergrad class size has increased by 1,000 students over the past 5 years, and the number of staff members across campus has roughly stayed the same. So, again, facts from IRP. I'll send you those.
What's IRP?
Institutional Research and Planning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Product, something like that? Yeah.
I think another challenge when Michelle talked about tuition and student debt is also the rising cost of living and the disparity between increases, salary increases, and the cost of living.
Yeah, I think that ties into the housing thing. Yeah. I think we see that with our transportation questions, where if something happens with TCAT and you don't live downtown because you can't afford to live downtown, therefore any one of these pieces of the transit network that get altered has these ripple effects across counties, actually, even, I know. Linda? So I've heard the Greenways project, the one up by East Health Plaza. I'm trying to think of what the latest iteration is now.
So it was that survey, right?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything lately.
I remember seeing a news article that they were moving forward with some project that, was going to appeal to Cornell staff because if you fell on a certain income range, you would automatically be qualified for lower income loans or something like that. I don't know where that is.
Then we can potentially, again, I think we'll list that with our questions with, like, maybe Mary and Hunter, just we'll add that in there, too. Other challenges, opportunities? Okay. Last question. What are the key attributes the next president of Cornell needs to have to successfully lead the university forward?
Well, you know, for staff, communication is the big one.
Yeah.
They're usually the last in the line of information.
Did you ask something, Mike, as well? Okay. You are also more than welcome.
I would say and understand, you know, we always talk about the three-legged stool, you know, the faculty, staff, and students, that everybody's an equal leg.
Yep.
So that they understand, you know, that they can vision that,
yeah,
that everyone is important. That's two.
Yep. Two-legged stool.
Two-legged stool.
Very helpful.
It's a good balancing act.
So if we do have, not necessarily for the president, though, but just thinking about those statistics about an aging staff, and they get a replacement from them, and also the housing and transportation issues, if you try to recruit new members and they can't even afford to come to the Etiquette area, that will be a
Yeah, I think a real good understanding of changing workforce demographics and also how that plays out into a unique employment situation at Cornell, which is we are a very large employer in a very small region. And that has really unique impacts on how we're able to recruit, retain, and, you know, how we manage our staff members here. I think one of the things that was interesting, I think I mentioned this after our last meeting with Mary, but sometimes I think this is why staff engagement at an institution like this is really important, because if we're in New York City, our talented staff, they're unengaged, they'll just leave and go somewhere else. Like, there's a billion other places to go to. In an area like this, if you're unengaged, this is a pretty good job, and you're much less likely to leave and do something, so therefore you are staying unengaged in a position, and that not only affects you as a staff member, but also members of your team. It has ripple effects in that sense as well, too. So I agree with that, too. I think it's an understanding of what Cornell is and how you manage differently than any other large institution. Because, you know, we...
Well, whatever president we approve, we'll have to do that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's a key attribute, but...
Yeah.
Let's see. What do I have? Transparency? Communication? I think... Yeah. That's my big one.
Well, I guess I'll have to have a realization of the
I think for me, the idea of having like an educator in a similar sense, where the president is in many ways looked to for answers, even though they might not necessarily be the one with those answers. I think we saw that a lot with employee things, asking President Garrett X, Y, and Z, when it's really maybe they should be asking or maybe they should be asking different division heads. I think that's what we saw as well when we went to stakeholders. We weren't going right to deans, we were going to HR leads and those kinds of things. So the president as having that ability to understand where people are coming from and being able to, again, not seem patronizing, but say, hey, I'm not the person to go to for that. Here are the people that you can connect with, and help kind of break down this idea that everything always has to go to the president for things to get done.
Not to talk a lot at this meeting, to take over the conversation, but that was an eye-opening thing when I met with HR people, was that they were almost put into a situation of us against employees.
Yep.
And I was like, well, no, we're all kind of on the same side for the success of
yep.
the whole, you know, so that was like three corners.
Yeah. So I like this idea of staff meeting with staff as much as possible, and then we escalate if we need to escalate, but how do we make those things happen? Other key attributes? Yeah.
Going to be
maintain your selectivity and shrink the size, which can have all sorts of ripple effects across campus for faculty members, staff members, and infrastructure,
yep.
or will they relax their selectivity? Certainly, if we have, what, 47,000 applicants or whatever it was last
yep.
year, you know, they can admit a few more students and maintain class size. That won't be a challenge for Cornell, but it is a strategic decision. And I know a lot of smaller colleges appear that they will, you know, they're going to re-up during the next 10 years because they won't be able to get it. Cornell won't be facing that, but
yeah.
it is a strategic decision. And the thing that the president and the board of trustees will have to think through is not something that staff usually will have to say in, but it has to put some kind of impact on
yep.
all of us.
In response to that, I was just reading a Times article. We're one of the slimming nations, whereas there's quite a few other nations that are having a lot of use. India and China to quote them. So internationally, we'll have a lot of people to pick from.
Yeah.
Yeah, massive global incentive initiatives are occurring right now to specifically bring in foreign students.
Yeah, but my understanding after this is that we're going or what they're actually hoping to do is increase the number, the total number of applications so that they don't have to change their admission numbers. They'd like to be able to increase admission numbers, but they're not sure that's going to happen. But if they can increase the number of total number of applications, which goes to marketing to the law.
Well, most colleges can increase the number of applications.
But am I understanding that you're saying that at some point in the future there may not be as many applicants because of this kind of bus effect?
Like this coming year, there may be many fewer students graduating from campus across the U.S. And, you know, that isn't necessarily the case internationally.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be some strategic decision for you. It's something the president wants to think about. And whether is it pertinent for this group to ask the incoming president what their attitude is?
Other questions at all? Or attributes? Things? Yeah.
What about the ability to really bring together the different constituents, yep. faculty, staff, students? I know we talk about transparency and communication, but really, not just understanding that, but really being able to bring the different groups together to improve, you know, workplace, to improve the climate on campus, to improve all the other initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a proven like, community builder is a good key attribute in that sense as well, too. Yep.
Or even just lead by mentioning that, you know, even just talking about the importance of that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
For being a leader of good.
Nancy?
I think the dual combination of being able to have a strategic vision for where the university needs to go, given all of these things, but also the ability to change on a dime, given any unexpected things which come
sure.
up, which kind of goes to your national question, we just do a lot of unexpected things here.
Yes, we have.
What happens if we get universal education versus someone who says you have to pay every dime of your education?
Hearing a pause, I think one of the other things I did want to add is someone that is able to, like, I guess be a good project manager in that sense. I think Cornell, you can get bogged down a lot in this person is in charge of this, this person in charge of this, so they're going to do, and it just gets lost. So really being able to keep track of what these large initiatives are and making sure that there's ample attention paid to it so things, like, get seen through to completion. That's something I've from President Garrett as well too. She was like, yeah, we're gonna do this. I think that's what I remember when I first met her. I'm like, this woman means business and things are gonna happen. Okay, here we go. So
other attributes? Okay, I think that was really good, and I think at least we'll be very prepared for tomorrow and kind of bringing those things forward as well, too. I do have a report from the chair just talking about UA results from yesterday, and I think our last meeting, I guess, with Mary is the other thing I want to talk about. Are there other things that you guys want to?
Just if we have time, then I want to do
yep, executive session. Cool. So last night we had our university assembly meeting. Again, we decided to elect an interim, I guess not me because I'm not part of that board in that sense as well too, but I'm glad our interim person is here, but an interim
executive
board. I almost said executive vice chair. I'm like, no, it's interim executive board, since the employee assembly hasn't finished our round of elections yet as well too. So that will stay in place until the fall, and then they'll elect their comprehensive permanent board for the university assembly for that academic calendar year as well too. So Pilar is elected as, what is the
vice chair of internal operations.
Internal operations, yeah. Great. Okay. And then
of the UA.
Of the university assembly, yep. And I guess, Gabe, if you don't mind, if you want to introduce yourself, Gabe is the interim chair as well.
Hi guys, I'm Gabe. I'm an undergraduate in IOR. I'm going to serve as the interim chair for the summer.
Thank you, Gabe. Did you get food, Gabe? There's food. So that was the UA last night. Again, I think it's, again, our involvement in the UA is good. And again, I want to see the next elected body here really contribute to that and, again, have an equal participation in those things as well, too. So thanks for coming. Like I said, really grab food. I feel like I'm training my mother, but eat something. We have lots of stuff to eat there. And then the last thing I have, trying to do a wrap-up with Mary for the end of the year and kind of transition things. A lot of this stuff is probably what we'll discuss. If there are any other hanging things that you'd like to make sure that we communicate to Mary from the employee assembly members, feel free to email me that as well. Oh, and the final thing as well, the last Board of Trustee meeting of the year where I'll be presenting on the employee assembly is happening on May the
28th.
Yeah. let me grab the date before I.
Calendar.
It's a Friday.
The 27th.
27th. So I believe I'm the first.
You are.
I'm the first presenter. So I'm excited. I think again I'll share shortly on the report that I wrote, but really positioning us, not just giving a report on what we've done over the year, but continue again what we presented to the executive committee on how we can build trust and engagement with the staff community and what benefits that has to both the governance of Cornell and also the financial impacts of that as well, too. I think it'll be good. I would appreciate support if you are able to come to that. I think you have to get tickets now, but
we have to sign up. We have to inform
the Office of Assembly to then send all those names over to the Board of Trustees. But, again, I think it would be great for us to also show that we are here, we are engaged, and this is something that we've supported as well, too. So I will send that out. I don't have any other notes from the chair. Any other business?
You're going to send where the location is and the time and all that?
Correct.
Okay.
It's law last time.
Yeah, typically it's in the law school auditorium because it's large enough and they have all the equipment.
It's either in the law school, the Statler, or in...
Oh, in Milstein.
Milstein.
But I think the spring one, if I remember last year, was in the law school. But, yeah, we'll send that out. But, again, keep that date in mind, and that'd be great. Any other business items? Otherwise, we'll go into executive session then, which, again, means members of the assembly, we ask you to please leave as we conduct more. Yes, Amy. That was going to be my last thing, but, yes, I'll let you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Whee!
So I do just want to say thank you. A lot of, I think, my facilitation skills have come from you, and you in particular, and the team at Leadership Center as well, too. So when you said you were interested in joining the spot, I was like, yes, Amy's coming. So thank you, Amy, for your time, and I hope you have a great vacation, retirement, all the new things that you're going to be doing as well, too. So thank you. Any other things that we have here? All right, I'll ask them that we will go into executive session. So members who are not part, or visitors who are not part of the assembly, thank you for coming. And then we'll... Thank you guys, welcome. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.